Hi, and welcome to the last call in our series on emotional eating. I'm Jackie Wicks, a peer trainer, and I'm here with Joshua Wayne. And for this final call, we're going to focus on hope. Now, I got an email the other day from someone who just said, I am so frustrated. I've had it. I went out for my friend's birthday last night. I ate everything I possibly could. I had my three-bite rule. I had everything in place in my mind. And it all went completely out the window. And the reason I'm so angry is because it's always something. It was last week, it was the fact that my coworker had resigned, and of course we had to all go out and celebrate. And I downed every single wing I saw in the place. I was even, you know, having the wings from the person next to me. And then that weekend before, it was my boyfriend's football game and the tailgate, and I had two cheeseburgers. And then I had a hot dog, and I downed myself with potato chips, and I just don't think that there's any point anymore. You know, it's always going to be something. I can sit there and say, well, you know, that was my friend's party, but that's the whole point. It's always an excuse. There's always going to be something, and I just don't think I'm ever going to be able to get over it. I am an emotional eater. That's just who I am. And, you know, it led me to what we were talking about, obviously, in call one, of the fact that, you know, I'm not an emotional eater, you know, that I have a problem with emotional eating. But when you start to really think of yourself as an identity, as that is your identity, you do feel this sense of hopelessness. And what it leads us to is going back to what we were talking about in the book by Goldman, Emotional Intelligence. The key way that you explain things to yourself as successes or failures is a direct result of whether you are optimistic or whether you have a pessimistic personality. And Dr. Seligman in Learned Optimism really explores these things, and he breaks it down into three concepts. The first one is permanence, the sense that this will never end. You know, Joshua was talking about the fact that, you know, it's just a thunderstorm, and when the thunderstorm passes, the sun comes out. But if you are mired in the fact that you think that this problem is permanent, just like she did in the story, she said, you know what, this is never going to end. There's always going to be an event. One of the reasons that she feels so hopeless and full of despair is because she has this sense that it's a permanent situation, that it's never going to change. And so one tip that's always good is to really remember that the thunderstorm does pass and that the sun comes out.
She's not always going to have to react that way. You know, she forgets or loses sight of the fact that she can change. And sometimes that change is going to take her some time. It's going to take her some time to change those patterns. But that's the important reminder there, is that just because this is what she's done in the past doesn't mean that she's obligated to do the same thing moving into the future.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, and the second concept that Seligman talks about is pervasiveness. We actually talk about this in our coaching program, and what that means is that you start stacking the negatives. You know, in this particular example, she didn't look at just the mess up that she had done at her friend's birthday party. She started stacking all the rest of the things. And don't we all do this? You know, we have a bad day, and show up late to a meeting, and our boss is annoyed with us, and then we start thinking about all the other things. Yeah, and I also had a fight with my husband, and I didn't get to the gym like I wanted to. And instead of looking at that as just one incident, one thing that you can focus on and do something different the next time, you start to stack all of the things on each other, and you start to weigh yourself down, and of course you start to feel hopeless, because if you start to stack all the negative events, you almost feel like a weight on your shoulders. And so what's an important tip and one thing that you can do is not only just look at this as one separate incident, but almost turn that on its head and start stacking all the positive things. Start thinking, wow, I did this really well today, and you know what? I also really helped my children last night. And you know what? I sat and listened to my mom for so many hours, and I really had the discipline to listen and really help her. So that's another way that you can look at stacking. The third concept is personalization. And what that simply means is that you start to think that things are always happening to you or they're all your fault. Great example of that is, it rains on your wedding day. And the optimistic person will say, oh, yeah, you know what? You never can control the weather. And someone who's having a problem with this says, God, just my luck. I can't believe it. Of course this happens to me. So it's really important in this particular thing when you're looking to have hope is to realize that, hey, it might be about you, but it might not. You know, when you start to explain situations to yourself, if you did something good, take credit for it. Don't just say, oh, you know what, that was just luck. Or if something bad happens, don't say, oh, I'm always messing up in that area. It could just be an external event. It could just be a bad day. It could just be a set of circumstances. And when you start to really understand these concepts, and of course, how could I possibly go into this in the time that we have? I really would highly recommend to get Learned Optimism by Seligman and also Emotional Intelligence by Goldman. So to really understand that when you start to become more optimistic and you start to learn how to explain to yourself these successes and these failures and these positive ways, you start to learn how to deal with the situation of the first story of, hey, wow, you know what, I'm never going to solve this. You start to explain it in a different way, and you start to learn the skills and the tips to become hopeful and have hope.
You know, and the reason we're sharing this stuff with you is to remember, in a sense, to be hopeful. There's this great mythologist who we Jack and I talked about in some other calls and programs we've done named Joseph Campbell, and he talks about this thing called the hero's journey. In a very simple sense, what he says is that each of us has this dream or this vision about our lives. If we pull back from our daily problems, if we pull back from the things that we all get lost and distracted by, we all have a vision or a dream about what we really deeply want in our life, like those deeper questions we ask ourselves about who am I and what's really important. So one thing that I also want you to think about is pulling back from this problem, like taking that bigger perspective and just really looking at the deeper things in your life, what's really important and what really gives you a sense of meaning and that sense of connection to something greater than yourself, because oftentimes that's how you really find your sense of hope. You know, you think about, you know, what is it you really want to have in your life? You know, is it having a family? Is it meeting somebody and having a meaningful relationship? Is it contributing to the world in some powerful way? We all have that vision and that dream around something that's going to give us a sense of deeper meaning, but we lose sight of it. It's like you kind of go into like a long tunnel underground. You know, if you're driving into New York City and you go through the Lincoln Tunnel, and it's almost like you just get lost in there and you forget about that there's a world outside. And sometimes we feel like we're stuck in that tunnel and we're breathing the exhaust and there's no sunlight. And we literally lose sight of the fact that there's a world outside that has possibilities and opportunities, and we have dreams in and things that we really can achieve. We have to work at it, of course, but that there are other possibilities, and we forget that sometimes. We just stay stuck in that tunnel. But it's really important to remember that right at the end of that tunnel, which is inevitably going to come, there is going to be daylight, there is going to be sunshine, there is going to be fresh air, and just remind yourself that there are more important things to focus on. It's hard to really find that thing, that deeper meaning and purpose that gives you a sense of hope, that helps you rise above just the day-to-day frustrations and problems. And to remember to have courage, to fight for your dream, to fight for that thing that you really want to have in your life, to work at it and do what's necessary to bring that dream into being, to be free of this problem. So to leave you with a quote, this is something I really love from Voltaire. I think it really describes that choice we all have to make to really have courage and to go after that deeper sense of meaning and to find that hope in our life. So Voltaire says this, "Come to the edge," he said. They said, "We are afraid." "Come to the edge," he said. They came. He pushed them and they flew. In some ways, you have to remember almost that this is also about having faith, that there is some deeper purpose and deeper meaning that we can all connect to in our lives that's going to help us get past the obstacles that we're in. So with that, we're going to close down call number 8. It's really been a pleasure being with you here over these last weeks together. And please stay connected to us. We have a lot of other programs and things we'll be releasing in the months to come, and a lot of great things to share with you. So please stay connected in the peer community and in the emails, and we'll be talking to you very soon. Have an awesome day.